Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Not the Elland Road return Jonathan Woodgate was hoping for, but it will be 4-0 at Leeds on Saturday afternoon, as you well know. Myself, Dom Shaw, Phil Tallentire are heading back home now after a grim afternoon, Phil, let's be honest.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? It was probably the worst case scenario. We hope that Middlesbrough might somehow scrape a draw. We know Leeds are a good side. They're up there at the top for a reason. We know Middlesbrough aren't at the top for a reason. The game plan really went out the window the moment that Borough conceded in the third minute with what was a poor goal. I mean, Leeds had already created one good chance, hadn't they, by that stage, and they really looked up for it. A very makeshift Middlesbrough side, you'd have to say. Paddy McNair back in the defence, which obviously weakens the midfield. Johnny Howson at right back. Jonathan Woodgate afterwards saying that there's no way Paddy could have played for 90 minutes in midfield given the glute injuries that he's got. So it was make, do and mend. You know, it was a difficult afternoon for players like Mark Bowler, you know, up against a very talented Leeds attack.
Yeah.
So all in all, the moment Borough went behind, it was going to be a big ask. They did make a decent fist of getting a toehold in the game, sort of from, I would say, 20 minutes to 40 minutes.
They weren't threatening, but at least
they weren't getting peppered. I think neither goalkeeper had much to do in that 20-minute spell. They got right into half-time, or stoppage time, should I say, before half-time. And the key there was just going 1-0 down and see if you can find something in the second half. And, of course, Leeds got that second. And from that point onwards, it was game over, really.
I think the takeaway for me afterwards, Jonathan Woodgate talked again and again about how good Leeds were and best team we've faced this season, they're going up, etc, etc. And it was hard to argue with any of that. But the alarming thing was, you know, only a matter of months ago, Borough and Leeds were rivals. I looked there, and when Leeds came to Borough in February, 6 points, 7 points separated them after Leeds scored in the whatever it was, 98th minute. This such a huge gulf seems to have been formed in such a little time.
Yeah, it's remarkable, really, isn't it? When you look back to the game at Elland Road, the start last season, you know, the
joint top and beating both of them.
Borough edged. Most people would say Borough edged that meeting, the 0-0 draw at Elland Road. So,
but yeah. I think the gulf though is more to do with where the clubs are heading than the sides.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the players who've left that Borough squad since then and who's come in. That bench on Saturday, it felt to me, you know, not taking anything away from the lads that came on, but you wonder whether it was a bit of a message looking ahead to January, you know. And I know there's loads of players out, but even those who are coming back in, how many game changes have Borough got in the squad? We said it earlier in the season, didn't we? Even when Borough had the senior players in, you look to the bench and you know, game changers, well, the likes of Marcus Brown, who we haven't seen anything of yet, let's be honest.
No.
But you're relying on these inconsistent forward players who were playing in League One last year.
Well, we know, don't we, that Middlesbrough didn't get the players they wanted in the summer. And there's no secret about that. Yes, they brought the three young lads in, they're all League One players, but really, the Middlesbrough are crying out for craft and creativity in the centre of the park. Experienced players probably up front. We know they were trying to get someone like Glatzel. They also tried to get Nketiah, however you pronounce it, the lad who's on, you know, on the Leeds bench, funnily enough. So Middlesbrough are paying the price for that poor window in terms of strengthening. Obviously, you lose a player like Stuart Downing. I think it was probably the best thing for everybody that he didn't stay, but Borough haven't replaced him. And, you know, when you think of when Borough were at their best over the last couple of seasons, it was when Braithwaite was playing well, it was when Stuart Downing was playing well. Those players have gone and haven't been replaced. And the fact that, you know, Middlesbrough had to recall Tyrone O'Neill from Darlington, and then to bolster the benches, you say, and then the fact that he actually got on the pitch as well, you know, good luck to the lad, and I hope he progresses from that. But, you know, he's not ready for Championship football. I don't think anyone would pretend he is. So I think there is a degree of, you know, the injuries are biting, no doubt about it. George Fenn would have made a difference this season for what he brings as much as anything. You know, somebody like that, that big sort of character. You know, Darren Randolph was missed today, wasn't he, on a difficult afternoon. You know, poor Ainsley Pearce was probably at fault for the first goal. So you take six or seven or eight players out of any championship team and they'll struggle. And I think Leeds had injuries last season and they struggled as well. So that is an issue. But absolutely, the squad's, you know, so thin. And I think the thing is as well, we just talked about this, Tom, didn't we? About, you know, Leeds on paper look a great team, but it's not necessarily packed with superstars. We, you know, went through the back four. You've got Stuart Dallas, who's a converted left back. You know, Liam Cooper isn't a superstar defender. Ben White on loan from Brighton, who was he at Newport not so long back?
The thing that struck me about Leeds today and last season to a certain extent, but it was the very early stages. I wasn't at the Borough Leeds home game at the Riverside, but the Ellen Road game last year, very early stages of Bielsa. The thing that struck me about today, watching Bielsa, you know, we all know he sits on his booking, yeah, and whatever, but very, 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 well, never does he stand up and bark out orders. He's got a couple of his assistants, his lieutenants, who are, you know, not barking out the orders, but you know, issuing commands in there. But it feels like the team is that well coached and well drilled that they don't need it, and it's almost, you know, all of that stuff is done during the week.
Yeah.
Come the weekend, it's, you know, the every player knows exactly what the role is, and you know, in that first half, the pace that they played, the intensity, Borough's midfield was blown away, wasn't it? I know Lewis Wing is struggling this season. I still don't think Borough getting the best out of him in the holding role.
No.
Another game past George Saville by. And I thought Tavernier really struggled to build on his performance against Barnsley. And you know, it's very worrying for Adam Clayton that, given all of the issues at the minute, he still can't get in the team.
Well, I think, you know, we've just touched on, you know, Paddy McNair and Johnny Howson playing in defence. Those two would be, you know, would walk into the midfield if Borough's defence was up to scratch, wouldn't they? You're absolutely right about Clayton. Clearly, he's just not in the manager's plans. If he can't get in the situation like Borough in at the moment, where, you know, he should be the glue that holds the team together with his experience, but obviously Woodgate sees what he sees on the training ground and doesn't think he can do a job, so we've got to trust him on that. I think the fundamental difference between Borough with a full strength side and somebody like Leeds that we saw today is the attacking options, isn't it? You know, Middlesbrough could probably defend pretty well and have done quite often when they've, you know, been rigid and solid, but what they're going to do to hurt teams, we've seen it time and again this season. You know, they haven't got a Hernandez, they have Patrick Bamford, was, you know we saw what he could do at Borough in the 2015 season when Borough got to, he was outstanding that season. We know he's a good player, despite, you know, some of the stick he got today. You look, Jack Harrison, you know, he came to Borough but at the wrong time in his career. He was never going to feature that much for Borough.
And I watched him today. I mean, he gave Johnny Howson a rough old ride, didn't he?
Yeah.
What Borough would give for a Jack Harrison now?
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously they spotted the talent in him, understandably.
Yeah.
But he'd just come off a long gap between seasons. He'd been playing in America. He was never going to hit the ground running. It was impossible for him. It was a bit of a wasted signing, if we were being brutally frank.
Talking to the lads who cover Leeds this week, they said this season he looks a different player to last season. He's kicked on. And, I was reading this week, Bielsa was saying that he wants Nicotia next season as well.
Yeah.
And you wonder whether he sees an element of that there as well, that, you know, although he's not playing as much as Arsenal would like this season, he thinks that this year of just being in and around it and will benefit him next year. But I think, bringing it back to the Borough perspective, that's what's worrying about January. Woodgate touched on loans there. The problem is, if you bring in loan players in, really, the reason players are available on loan is because if they're a senior player, they're out of favour.
Yeah.
And therefore, probably out of shape, i.e. Rajiv van der Parra last year.
Yeah.
If it's a young player, then
do Borough need another 21-year-old?
Borough can't afford to bring someone in January and give them 6 weeks to settle in.
No.
And that's what I think makes it. It's very, very, very rare you get a Gaston Ramirez in January.
Yeah, and Borough were flying at the top of the Championship when Gaston signed.
So it's what makes January so difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yet it's so important.
Well, I mean, I think the thing is as well, I think one of the reasons why Leeds looked so impressive was the fact that just about every player in that team fears for his place. You can see it in the desperation of the
way someone talked about that,
the way a Bamford plays, the way one of the midfielders, that Costa hasn't been starting every game. They're big signings. Yeah. People like Costa, and yet they're not guaranteed the place. So they've got to deliver week in, week out. We know, due to circumstances, that most Borough players are walking into the team come what may.
Well, Brittany Sambalonga one leg today.
And
he starts.
And he has to start because there's no other option. George Savile walked straight back in the team after a suspension because he needed the numbers in midfield. There's no evidence for his recent performances that he's warrants a first team start, but he has to play because Borough just don't have the numbers. So I think there was an element, certainly even at the start of the season, where Britt's place wasn't under threat, and I don't think we were getting enough out of him. I think he has picked up in the last few weeks, but so that is an issue for me. So that, again, you talk about January, getting the players who, I mean, obviously they're going to have to be good enough to come straight in the team. They're going to have to improve what Borough have got. There's no good getting people who are just as good, just the same as what you've already got. That's going to be a huge ask, and it's, and how are you going to convince players to come? If you're an up and coming player who's got a lot of ability, you might with a Premier League club, if you stay where you are, you might play two or three times in the cups before the end of the season, but you might be able to do a great job in the Championship. Are you going to want a club come to a club that's in the bottom six of the Championship?
Well, in the summer, Marcus Brown, Anthony Dykesdale, and Mark Bowler all talked about being sold by the long term vision of the club. Well, as soon as they spoke to Jonathan Mugget, and I know, it's what footballers say when they sign for a new club, but there was a general theme, wasn't there, to what the new signings were saying. That selling that vision is so much more difficult when you're 21st.
Absolutely.
In the table, how can you sell a long-term vision when you can't give any assurances that you're not going to be playing in League One in 5 months' time?
Exactly. You've got to. It's difficult. We always knew this season was one of transition. I think everyone accepted that, but I'm sure the chairman believed that this season would be a transition where Borough would be 8th, 9th, 10th on a good week, maybe push for the top 6. That was the idea, I'm sure it was, and I'm sure that was Jonathan Woodgate's plan as well, to finish as high as possible. If you go in a season where you're really mentally attuned to the fact that you're probably not going to go up, it's a very difficult balancing act, isn't it? Because rightly so, Borough are retooling themselves for a new future. They have to do that. The old way wasn't working, but it's left them with a very thin young squad, and that isn't at the moment picking up enough points to guarantee Championship safety. And that is just the way things are. That's not us being over dramatic. We're just telling it how it is. That squad, after 19 games, you're getting on towards nearly half a season now, is struggling to keep its head above water in what is an incredibly competitive division. And the teams around them, most of them, started the season knowing they were in a battle. I don't think Borough necessarily did. So you've got all those factors, and as you say, how do you improve that squad when you're down there, when you're fighting for your lives? It's a huge ask for Middlesbrough, and and it goes back to the thing, it's almost short of throwing money at the situation, because good loan players, you have to pay for them now, don't you? We're talking, more than £1 million sometimes, £1 million plus their salaries or a portion of the salaries for good loan players. That there's a financial implication there.
Before January, there's obviously some huge games. We were saying in the office this week, weren't we, that it feels like, and it's probably a damning indictment really of where Borough find themselves, that their fate won't be decided by games against the likes of Leeds and Nottingham Forest away. That said, a defeat in that manner like that today obviously doesn't help the mood surrounding the club, particularly in the stands. But the point is, the games that you look at and think, well, we need to win. Charlton at home, Charlton are in free fall, although they might be boosted by what's happened in the league and off the pitch this week. Huddersfield home as well, and that Stoke game. Johnny Howson was up to speak to the press after the game, and he said that it almost, the players haven't, they've said a lot this season about how positive it is at Rockcliffe. The players are positive, the squads are positive, Woodgate said it every week. And Howson said, he was talking about when he's been in relegation battles before with Leeds and Norwich, and he said, it almost feels strange and weird to say that it's positive, but it is. And that's good to hear, and Woodgate's clearly doing a good job of keeping morale high. But do you worry at all that positivity may be papers over the reality of the situation?
I mean, what's pleasing is I know the Leeds game was a really bad day at the office, but yeah, I get the feeling that the players are buying into what Woody wants to do.
They're all,
you know, you can tell when a dressing room when the manager's lost the dressing room. You could probably go back to the back end of the Karanka reign. There was a split. There was a divide, and probably some players were his players and some players weren't. That kind of thing. It happens. Happens in a lot of clubs. There's a feeling that when the players aren't putting it in for the manager, you can tell, and I don't think that's the case. That isn't the problem at the moment. The fans at the moment, I know there's a lot of criticism on social media, but the fans in the stadiums, home and away, are supportive, they're backing the team, they're backing Woody. The danger comes for any manager when that changes. You know, either the players lose heart or the fans lose heart. And if the pressure comes on the board at any club, that's when the manager starts to worry about his position. I think there was probably a little bit of that, the overconfidence maybe at the start of the season, going back to what I'm saying about the team thought they could possibly go through a season of transition and still battle at the top half of the table. You kind of feel, you only have to lose 5% of concentration and application for a team to slide very quickly. And you lose a couple of good players as well, as Borough did in the summer, then that just compounds the problem. So I think there might be a little bit, I can't believe there's any Borough players now in that dressing room who don't really think they're in for a fight. Now, if they believe they're good enough to get out of that's good to hear, isn't it? You wouldn't like to think that we sat there thinking we're doomed, we can't get out of this. But, so, I get what you're saying about the positivity, but I can't believe those Borough players who were turning up and scrapping and trying to dig a result out week in, week out, are not aware of where the team is at the moment.
Because it's funny, isn't it? Because you hear every week. I mean, Bielsa in his programme notes today was effectively saying what Jonathan Woodgate said, that the league table doesn't always reflect performances. Every single week we hear managers talking up Borough's squad, the quality in the squad, the quality in the team. Really, the Barnsley manager this week was the first person who didn't. He came and said what he said about the counter-attacking style and the form. But, you know, the quality of the team and the quality of the squad that we keep hearing so much about, well, clearly at the minute, and I get that the squad depth isn't there, but the team, the player names on paper can't get you results, can they?
Of course not, no, absolutely not. The simple fact of the matter, we spoke about this, didn't we, you know, coming out of the ground at Leeds. As things stand at the moment, which Borough players would get in the Leeds team? You know, that's a simple comparison.
And Randolph?
And those clubs weren't too far apart not so long ago. So, a lot of those players, you know, I think probably all guilty of probably looking at a transfer fee and saying, well, that he's a good player, or, you know, you look at the transfer fees Borough have spent on players in that squad. There's a lot of money there, you know. Not many teams have spent £15 million on a striker. The money that they spent on George Saville, you know, Paddy McNair didn't come cheap. You know, Darren Randolph was a relatively expensive acquisition for that, for the second tier. So, when you look at it in those terms, it just smacks of a Borough didn't get value for money, did they? When push comes to shove, with the possible exception of, you know, we're only now seeing what McNair can do. You know, it's staggering that he didn't feature last season.
George Saville, I know, you know, this week, for example, we heard...
Darren Randolph, by the way, it was good value for money as well, sorry.
This week we heard Jonathan Woodgate talking about how Patrick Bamford almost had to be sacrificed because they were cutting costs. But then you think, well, a similar fee was spent on George Saville.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone could argue with who they'd rather have in the Borough team right now.
That was massively overpaid for him. You know, he's been at the club, getting on for a year and a half, and I'm still not quite sure what, you know, what he can bring to the team. And I don't think anyone could say that's being harsh. He's had enough opportunities. He just hasn't staked a claim. He hasn't made himself undroppable. You know, and those are the kind of decisions now that, you know, Jonathan Woodgate's paying the price for those decisions, because he, you know, if the squad that he has, the squad that he has isn't a cheap squad, and the way, even though he's lost some key players, it's still quite a high salary band, isn't it? So we know why Burr are in the situation they're at, because of the amount of money they've spent and they're committed on wages, and that's made it difficult for them to, another reason why it's been difficult to find the money to spend in transfer windows, because a lot of it's tied up and they've got to balance the books and they've got to work within financial fair play. So I think a lot of people, when they're looking at Burr squads, look at the size of the transfer fees. But if you look at what those players potentially have delivered in since they signed for the club, then no, I don't think you can say Burr have a particularly great squad, you know. And I think maybe there's a little bit of an element of managers playing some kidology there as well.
Before we wrap up, the problems keep piling up for Woodgate, because as well as obviously a defeat that it goes without saying he won't have enjoyed, Hayden Coulson missed out through injury, Asamoah Belonga went off and never looked comfortable, and Paddy McNair is now suspended for the game against Charlton next week. It was the cut-off today, wasn't it, for 5 yellow cards. He picked up that 5th yellow of the season, which means he's suspended. It's just another issue we could do without, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's bad enough that Paddy McNair is not 100% fit at the moment, but the other situation, as you say, is going to miss what is a huge game. And there was an argument, wasn't there, before the Leeds match, almost to say, do you write the game off? And I don't think you can do that, by the way. I don't think you can write any Championship game off. But out of the two games, the one that Burr have to get a result in between Charlton and Leeds is Charlton, isn't it? A team that have started well but might start sliding down the table, as you alluded to earlier. I think when you look at it, you know, that number of players being out, and there's no real evidence that they're going to be back particularly soon. It's a huge problem for Woody, and if you genuinely do feel for him, because it's hard enough to manage a club in the Championship when you've got every single player available week in, week out. When you've got so many senior players, you know, in the injury, you know, treatment room, getting their injuries seen to, it just makes it so more difficult. And you can't, the bench, he keeps going to the bench, and the bench can't deliver for him, can it?
No, well, not the upbeat tripe we'd have liked to have recorded on the way back on this Saturday night, but thanks nonetheless for listening, and please continue to read our reaction and analysis over the weekend. Thanks a lot, Phil.
Cheers, mate.